The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, there are some silver linings about this COVID stuff that we've been dealing with. You know, some folks have been able to spend more time with their families. Some people were able to get all kinds of chores done that they have been waiting to do or putting off for years, right? We've also learned a lot of new things. I, for one, have learned a great deal about how to do virtual stuff. Not just worship, but Bible studies and meetings and all of that. And as part of that, when we were doing virtual things, I realized that I needed a better webcam. If I was going to spend so much time being in front of a camera, I got to make this look good, right? And so I talked to Damian Williams, who is our director of IT and live streaming, and he told me that I needed a DSLR camera, one of these. And so I took my stimulus money and went out and got one of these things and a bunch of equipment that goes with it. And that way I could use this as a webcam and a video camera, but it also takes pictures. And so one of the silver linings for me during all of this is I've learned a lot about photography. I've learned new words like aperture, which apparently is the little dial that dictates one thing, how much light goes in, or the field of depth, what's blurry behind it. And I've also learned about exposure and light and symmetry and all these things. One of the things that I've learned about taking great pictures, it's all about perspective. And see, perspective in photography is the spatial relationship between two objects or the point of view of the photographer. So I can take a picture over here, and it'll look one way, or I can get down here and take a picture right down the aisle, and it'll look another way. It's all a matter of perspective, right? You know, it's kind of like life. Life is all a matter of perspective. The way we view things is based on our relationship with it or from our point of view. It's like this. If I came up to some of you and said, "Clean my house," you would either laugh at me or ask me how much I'm paying you to clean my house. Now, if I went up to my wife and said, "Clean my house," she would first say, "What makes you think that this is your house?" And then she would either tell me, no, you clean it, or that she already had. If I told my oldest daughter to clean the house, her response would be, "Dad, I live at college. I'm not cleaning the house." And if I told my youngest daughter to clean the house, hopefully she would say, "Yes, sir." It's all a matter of perspective, right? It's about the relationship. It's about the point of view that each of y'all bring to that question. It's like this, too. When I talk about perspective, there's no greater example that I could give right now than our President Donald Trump. Just the sound of his name, for some people, makes them want to stand up and cheer. And other people, it makes them want to stand up and scream. Isn't that right? And so if you're conservative, more than likely you love the guy. You got the flag, you got the hat, you got the bumper stickers. If you're liberal, you want to burn the flag, step on the hat, and rip all the bumper stickers off. Isn't that about right? And so it also changes the way that we have, the relationship that we have with the man or the party he represents, along with our point of view, is going to dictate how we respond and how we receive information about him. If there is a headline that says that President Trump ran into a burning building and saved a baby, conservatives would say, yes, that man is an American hero, and we should honor that. While other people would say, he probably set the fire himself. On the other hand, if there was a headline that said, there is irrefutable video evidence that Donald Trump shoplifted a pack of chewing gum, the liberals would say, see, I knew it all along. We need to impeach him and throw this man in prison for 20 years for stealing that pack of gum. Where other people would say, that's fake news and it's doctored, never happened. It's all about our perspective, isn't it? I mean, just the mere discussion of this man for some people is like, how dare you talk about him? One way or the other, some of you are upset because I talked about the positive or the negative. That's your perspective. And so the reason I bring this up is because equally important, if, well, much more important, is your perspective on Jesus Christ. Because that's exactly the question that Jesus is asking his disciples in today's gospel reading. He says, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Okay, they have a relationship with Jesus, but it's not a close relationship. Maybe they've heard of him. Maybe they've witnessed some of the things they see. And so they say, well, from their point of view, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others still one of the prophets. Then Jesus turns the question around. He says, but who do you say that I am? That's a different perspective, isn't it? Jesus asked this to the people that he's closest with, the ones who've been following him since the beginning of his ministry, the ones who have seen the miracles and heard the teachings. And from that, Peter pipes up and answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The way I see it, because of my relationship with you, I believe that you are the Savior. It's all a matter of perspective. Right? And so Peter gets it right. Now, he doesn't really understand that, but we'll hear more about that next week. But for now, we're just going to celebrate the fact that Peter nailed this answer. Ding, ding, ding. Tell him what he's won, Jesus. Well, Peter, for saying this, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So Peter, for his proclamation, is given not only the keys to the kingdom, but his proclamation, and he himself will be the rock on which the church is built. And get this church, not even the gates of Hades will prevail against it. That's powerful stuff, isn't it? The church, that which you and I were baptized into, that which you and I are a part of, even the gates of Hades will not prevail against this church. The church that is built on the proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You know, the gates of Hades may not prevail against it, but this pandemic's done a doozy on the church, hasn't it? I mean, you know, first of all, there were some churches that have probably had to close because of all this, because they were just hanging on before it happened. And with financial problems and with schisms within the congregations, they didn't survive. And there's all kinds of other things. It's not just a pandemic, but there's theological issues and judgmentalism and people that are leaving and all the things that compete with the church nowadays for our time, our money, and our attention, doesn't look much like this church is winning against anything, much less the gates of Hades. Well, maybe our perspective is wrong. Because I think it boils down to the question, since we are the church, how do we answer the question, who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that Jesus is? C.S. Lewis, who is a famous theologian, once said that there's three options for this question. Jesus is either a lunatic, a liar, or Lord. I mean, let's be honest. If someone came claiming that they were God today, what would we say about them? Crazy, right? They're lunatic. They need to be locked up somewhere. They've got some mental issues. Or they're lying. The things that he said, the things that he preached, well, that's just not true. It never happened. Or, if he's not a lunatic and he's not a liar, there's only one more option. He's Lord. So I ask you again, who do you say that Jesus is? Is he a lunatic? Is he a liar? Or is he the Lord? Because if he is the Lord, and that's what you believe, and that's from your perspective, from your relationship, from your point of view, that Jesus Christ is a Son of God, if he is the Messiah, shouldn't that have an impact on your life? And if Jesus Christ is the Lord, wouldn't that have more of an impact on all of our lives and therefore on the entire church? And maybe we wouldn't be losing so much right now. Maybe we're not answering the question right. Maybe our perspective is off. I think we need to go back and ask ourselves the question. Who do you say that Jesus is? What does he mean to you? What impact does he have on your life? Do you think he's a lunatic? Do you think he's a liar? Or do you believe that he is Lord? That he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Because if that's what you believe, a difference should be made. If that's what you and I believe, then the church should be winning. And if we take hold of the answer and our beliefs that were given to us by the Holy Spirit at our baptism, then the church will prevail. Let me let you in on a little secret. I believe that the local congregation is God's answer to all the world's problems. I'll say it again. I believe that the local congregation is God's answer to all the world's problems. But in order for it to be that, we have to realize what our answer is. We have to realize what it is that we believe. We have to realize what our perspective is, and it has to have an impact on our lives, and therefore it'll have an impact on the lives around us. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the one who died and rose again to save us and give us life and life eternal. That's who Jesus is. And that means that our lives can never be the same. It means that in this world of distrust and destruction and illness and death, that you and I bring a word of hope and light and life. It means that we are not going around judging other people. Our role is to build them up and to share the good news. That's the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone. The gates of Hades will not prevail against this church. Because you see, my friends, we are the church of Christ, and Christ has already won the victory. And because we are his church, no, not a pandemic, not financial problems, not division, not the sinful brokenness of its people. Nothing will prevail against God's church. But you and I need to step up and be the church. We need to be the people that we are called to be. And we need to show the world our perspective, a perspective that shows hope and light and life to all. Because Jesus Christ wasn't a lunatic. He wasn't a liar. He was, is, and will forever be the Lord, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen.